Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Well, it's official. I can't say I'm surprised, but the director of the FBI, James Comey, came out this morning and announced that there's no there, that there is no reason to prosecute Hillary Clinton. There's no reason she should be indicted. In fact, he said no reasonable prosecutor would consider indictment under these circumstances. Let's play, if we could. We're getting the feed up for you to play. One of the things you should know about Director James Comey, I've had a lot of respect for him for many years. He used to work for George W. Bush. He happens to be a lifelong conservative Republican who has given money to Republican campaigns, notably McCain and Romney. So he's not a Democrat. So all you people that think he's biased, well, he's really not. What he is a public servant. Obviously, as a conservative Republican, I disagree with his political views. But I can tell you that as a public servant, FBI Director James Comey is of the highest order. And in fact, when George Bush tried to break the law, when Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez tried to break the law and actually tried to trick, when he was then Chief of Staff, Counsel to the President. He tried to trick a very sick Attorney General John Ashcroft into signing some illegal and unconstitutional wiretapping. James Comey was there to make sure it didn't happen. And in fact, offered to George Bush his resignation, saying he would go public with George Bush's clear attempt to violate the Constitution. And now he's very clearly giving his rule on Hillary Clinton. Now, he's not praising what she did. To be sure, she made mistakes. She's admitted she made mistakes. But his conclusion is clear. And let's play that conclusion.
Our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Prosecutors necessarily weigh a number of factors before deciding whether to bring charges. There are obvious considerations like the strength of the evidence, especially regarding intent. Responsible decisions also consider the context of a person's actions and how similar situations have been handled in the past. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now. As a result, although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to Justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case. I know there will be intense public debate in the wake of this recommendation, as there was throughout the investigation. What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear. I know there were many opinions expressed by people who were not part of the investigation, including people in government, but none of that mattered to us. Opinions are irrelevant, and they were all uninformed by insight into our investigation because we did our investigation the right way. Only facts matter. And the FBI found them here in an entirely apolitical and professional way. I couldn't be prouder to be part of this organization.
So that's the entire conclusion of James Comey's statement today. He announced at the beginning of his statement that he hadn't told anybody what he was going to say. So you could hear the anticipation in the room. No one in the Obama administration, Attorney General Lynch, certainly no one Hillary Clinton's staff or anyone knew what his conclusion was going to be before he said it. Except that I knew, and I have no contact with James Comey. I've never met the man. I don't have any contacts in the FBI. I'm not giving the inside scoop based on inside information. I'm just telling you I'm a lawyer. And any reasonable prosecutor, any reasonable lawyer knew from the get-go this was not an indictable offense. It was a mistake, but not a criminal mistake, which is why I predicted Saturday on Fox News there would be no indictments, which is why I've been telling people that on this program, well, anytime anyone called in and suggested it. It's not a criminal offense. And this hour, I want to devote to the email controversy, but then I want to get past it. In other words, after today, I'm not going to discuss it anymore. Hillary Clinton's been exonerated. She did not do anything criminal. She made a mistake, and we'll talk about the mistakes she made. No one's saying this was a good thing, but it's also saying that in the scheme of things, it's a relatively minor thing, and it's certainly not criminal. And I hope you'll do the same. Talk about it. Give the facts. We're going to give you all the facts this hour so you can answer anyone who asks you anything about Hillary Clinton's emails. And then we're going to get past it. It's done. It's like Benghazi. She was completely exonerated there. There's no point in going over this anymore. This is the end of this so-called scandal. Let's get to what James Comey said and why it is, in fact, that this is not a prosecutable offense. To do that, you have to understand the nature of, first of all, of classifications. You need to understand, as I do, having worked in government, that we classify a whole bunch of things. We do classify way more than we should. And there's levels. There's what's called confidential. Confidential might be what soup they're serving at the Russian embassy today. I guess we wouldn't want it to get out because then we would know that we're finding out through some method that they're having soup at the borscht at the Republican embassy today. Then there's something called secret. Then there's something called top secret. And then there are many levels more secret than top secret, so much so that I can't even tell you what the classifications are. For example, of what is the utmost in top secret classification, what is beyond top secret, what is more secret than top secret, probably the most single important document that's somewhat distributed within the executive branch of government and is definitely more secret than top secret is something called the National Intelligence Directive. The National Intelligence Directive is a daily briefing that's put out every day by the intelligence community. It goes to the president, it goes to the National Security Advisor, it goes to high-ranking officials in the executive branch. It is the heart of what we secretly know and what policymakers should know based on the spies we have around the globe, based on agents here at home, based on things we intercept from our satellites and other things. It's very secret. As I said, it's beyond top secret. There are levels more secret than top secret, so much so that, I can't even give you the classifications. I don't know them. They're top secret. In any case, the National Intelligence Directive, this daily briefing of perhaps what the most secret things we have on the day are, is distributed among top officials. And there's a fascinating article in Politico that describes what happened one day a photographer disclosed the National Intelligence Directive to 10,000 foreign officials around the globe. Now, to be clear, he wasn't a spy. He didn't sneak in to the State Department and go and take a picture of the document and send it to 10,000 people abroad. If he had, I'm sure he'd be in jail. But this article in Politico this fascinating article that I will post on my website, actually, in the break. What it does is it describes how Ronald Spears, who at the time in 1987 was the fourth most leading official in the State Department. He was number four, which is pretty high up. And in this article, which you can find in Politico, called "I Triggered a State Department Leak More Serious Than Hillary Clinton's," you'd be surprised at how light the punishment was. Stephen Dujack writes how he was a photographer for Foreign Affairs Magazine, the Foreign Service Journal. And in the February 1987 edition of the Foreign Service Journal, he was doing a spotlight piece on Ronald Spears, number four in the State Department. Somewhat an obscure journal, but it is sent to, foreign service people all over the globe. And it's sent to embassies and to foreign officials all over the globe. And in this obscure journal, they did a nice little puff piece on Ronald Spears. And there's a picture of the man that Ronald Spears authorized. And he's sitting at his desk, and he's got his glasses, and he's got some papers on it. And right there in the corner, blown up on the front page of the magazine, is a copy of that day's National Intelligence Directive. That's right, this super secret document, this extremely sensitive material that was more secret than top secret, the National Intelligence Daily, I call it the directive, it's the National Intelligence Daily. The National Intelligence Daily, produced by the CIA every day, was right there in the picture. The picture published on the front page of the Foreign Service Journal. And this photographer not only took the picture, Ronald Spears not only authorized the picture, stupidly leaving this document on his desk, but if you blow up the picture, you can read the details. There's even a map. There's some text. There's all kinds of things that are more serious than top secret. And in fact, it got out. New York Times reported on it, and this magazine was sent to 10,000 people all over the globe, including our biggest enemies. You would think that is a serious problem. I mean, the reporter did it inadvertently. No one believes the reporter or Ronald Spears intended to disclose this very top secret information to people all over the globe. But it happened. They did it. And the article goes through all this egregious transmission and how, upset they were that it happened. Obviously, it was a mistake. And at the end of the day, after an investigation, Ronald Spears got a letter from officials, the ones who did the investigation, saying, please be more careful next time. That's right. He got a letter in his file. Kind of like, you ever got a letter in your file at work? You made a mistake. Don't do it again. That's what he got. There was never a criminal investigation. He didn't lose his security clearance. Here, this is more serious than top secret, disclosed to all of our enemies. He got a letter in his file. Compare what Ronald Spears did, again, with no intent, but clearly a more serious leak, with what Hillary Clinton did. Hillary Clinton's data went to no one, as distinct from Ronald Spears' information that we know went to the public, went to 10,000 people, including our enemies. Her data, there's no evidence that it was hacked. Now, maybe it was, but there's no evidence that it was, and certainly James Comey makes that clear in his statement today. Furthermore, this was the National Intelligence Daily. This was more secret than top secret. And Hillary Clinton's information, at worst, was top secret, and that's only 8 email chains out of the 55,000 or so she had. So Spears was disclosed, Clinton's was not. Spears was more secret than top secret, Clinton's was not. Spears got a letter. Maybe Hillary Clinton should get a letter. But at the end of the day, the reason why neither Hillary Clinton nor Spears were prosecuted is because neither had the intent, the criminal intent, to disclose such information. I'll give you a little more detail about the law when we come back. If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now, at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Hillary Clinton will not be indicted. No surprise to me, but it will surprise some who seem to think that everything she's done is wrong, or at least criminal. I'm not saying it's not wrong. I said on Fox Saturday that she made a mistake. She's admitted to her mistake. It's the same mistake, by the way, that Colin Powell made, Condoleezza Rice made, that every single other person before her in the State Department, as long as email existed, made. She kept private emails. And the dirty little secret, and this I can tell you, is that lots of government officials do. I'm sure the number's in the hundreds of government officials that have access to classified information and also have private emails. It's actually quite common. The law wasn't particularly clarified until 2014. I hope they're not doing it now. Clearly, it's a mistake in hindsight, but it's a very common mistake, and it's not a criminal one. And if you want to know why Ronald Spears only got a letter and why Hillary Clinton will not be indicted, you have to understand that in order to be charged with a crime, you have to be guilty of criminal intent or gross negligence. Criminal intent means you have to try to do the wrong thing. General Petraeus, for example, who was fined, not jailed, but fined for his disclosure of classified information to the woman that he was sleeping with, the journalist that he was having an affair with, who did not have the classified access to the material he gave her, intended. He knew what he was doing. He openly gave her the information, and so he was fined. Note, fined, not jailed. Other cases of disclosure of classified information, you know, Snowden, for example, or others, intended the information to get out. Or you have to be grossly negligent. Now, it's rare that there's criminal violations for gross negligence. There are some examples, drunk driving, for example. You're grossly negligent there. You're not intending to kill anyone, but you negligently drink a lot before you get behind the wheel. And even that has to be intentional. It can't be that someone, you know, drugged you with a bunch of alcohol, as weird as that sounds. And it's not grossly negligent when everybody does it. Hillary Clinton was doing what lots and lots of people in government do. Today, maybe, with this case and all the publicity it got, maybe it would rise to the level of gross negligence. I don't know. I don't advise anyone to have it on your private email. But in any case, at the time Hillary Clinton did it, the law was new. No one really understood it. Those that did understand it, it wasn't conveyed very clearly. Frankly, it wasn't a big deal at the time. And there's no evidence anything was hacked. So this is something that should go away. Now, I don't expect Republicans to make it go away. But I'm talking about it today so that we can deal with this issue and then move on to the much more important things we have at hand. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Give me a call.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution in his sleep. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is your host, Mark Levine, and this is the last day that I intend to ever speak about Hillary's emails. In the future, I guarantee you, somebody's going to bring it up, somebody's going to call in, and I'm going to say, refer to my show on July 5th. So if you want to talk about Hillary's emails, this is your last chance. I consider this the closing of the door on this case. Did she make a mistake? Yes, she made a mistake. She failed to follow some new regulations. She, along with hundreds, didn't follow them. Colin Powell didn't follow them. He's not going to go to jail. She's not going to go to jail. She might get a letter in her file, the way Ronald Spears did in 1987 when he did something far worse, when his photographer disclosed the National Intelligence Daily, a far more secret than top secret document, to all of our enemies, accidentally, in a puff piece, by a picture on the cover of the Foreign Service Journal. So he, for that far more serious breach, and again, there's no evidence that Clinton did any breach at all. And certainly, and even the material that was on her private server was not as secret as the breach that happened to Ronald Spears. Ronald Spears didn't get a criminal investigation. He didn't lose his security clearance. He didn't get any kind of demotion in his job. He did get a letter in his file asking him to please be more careful next time. I'm sure he was. If they want to write a letter to Hillary Clinton, say, please be more careful, they could. Though I think she will, don't you? I think she learned her lesson. There's so much to talk about with regard to the crazy things Donald Trump has done, including, I just found out, and I won't talk about today because we're devoting today to Hillary, but I just found out that he's being sued for raping a 13-year-old girl. Interesting allegation, which I will talk about more in days to come. I want to read the lawsuit and try to understand it before I give too much about it to you. But compared to that, Hillary Clinton made a mistake. She's human. It's time to move on. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt County, California, on line one. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, pretty fair, Mark. Beautiful day up here. I have kind of regarded this particular issue as something of a diversion. In the, if federal law enforcement was seriously in the business of prosecuting major infractions, I know some people, high-level people, that should be serving in prison and not living a life of luxury with service, Secret Service protection and such. There are big special interests that are ill-motivated, and they find political people that are willing to play ball with them, that accept a great deal of money, and in return turn their back and look the other way. All real crimes go on. I'd like to suggest one that, you know, has concerned me forever. Rigging electronic voting is a real, real crime. It doesn't.
Well, and there was a case, in Florida about 10 years ago where I think it actually changed a congressional election. I think it was Vern Buchanan, if my memory serves me correctly, and I think it was the election of 04. That's the most recent one I know of. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I think that's the most provable one. And as you know, Dave, I agree with you, and I've worked hard in Virginia so that we're already in my where I live in Alexandria. We do not have electronic voting machines. We have paper records that are counted electronically. But if anyone were to challenge them, you could actually see the paper. I worked on a bill to ban it in all of Virginia by 2020. So I would have done sooner, but that was the best I could do. So, you know, I agree with you on that, Dave. I would think a better example would be the Valerie Plame affair. Here you had Dick Cheney disclose the identity of a CIA agent. So this isn't a case of Hillary Clinton writing some emails, including things that are low-level secret, though they weren't marked secret at the time she dealt with them, putting them on her private server where maybe, though no one can prove it, someone could theoretically hack them. This is a case of the Vice President of the United States intentionally disclosing the name of a CIA agent, which is, of course, much more than top secret, and doing so not by putting it up on some private email server where maybe someone could hack into it, but actively disclosing it to the press for some political gain. And as you know, his chief of staff did it, Scooter Libby, a man who never before ever acted before or after, Dick Cheney's point of view. He was it's almost like saying that a pen acted upon itself and making a signature. No, the person holding the pen does a signature. And, you know, Scooter Libby was very, very loyal to Vice President Cheney, who directed his actions. As you know, Scooter Libby took the fall, fell on the knife, pled the fifth, would not finger the vice president, ended up paying a fine, and the vice president got away with something that, well, that is a serious criminal offense to intentionally disclose the name of a CIA agent. Again, what Hillary Clinton did was arguably a minor level of negligence, all right? Maybe so, but just compare her to Dick Cheney, and the fact that Dick Cheney didn't go to jail and wasn't fined. Of course, if Scooter Libby had told the truth and not fallen on his sword, and of course got his sentence commuted by George Bush and gone to jail, maybe he would have told the truth and maybe the Vice President Cheney would be in jail right now. But again, just comparing those two examples, I think, shows you the how serious the crime has to be before anyone goes to jail. And Cheney never went to jail and never paid a fine, despite the far more serious intentional disclosure of extremely high-level top-secret information.
I agree that we shouldn't even be talking about using the wrong internet. I do believe we should be talking about real attempts to kill off our postal system to benefit and profit Federal, FedEx and such. I believe we should be talking about getting our country into war because it's profitable to Boeing and Halliburton.
Fair enough, Dave, but all those things we're going to have to save for another day. I do love when you call in. I'm going to try to stick, mostly because this is the one day I'm going to talk about Hillary's emails. So I'm going to do it all today, get it over with, and then no one could say I didn't deal with it, but I really think it's time that we get past it. But thank you, Dave, for calling in. I always appreciate when you do. If you want to call in, folks, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is your last chance to call in, so fill up the phone lines now. Whether you agree or disagree with me, if you want to condemn Hillary, here's your chance. Again, I'm not saying that she did the right thing. She has admitted she made a mistake, but it was never criminal. She was never going to be indicted, and maybe if Bernie Sanders was waiting for an indictment, as silly and ridiculous as that was, maybe now he will finally fold his cards and endorse Hillary Clinton for president. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levine is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. There's still time for you to call in and talk about Hillary's emails and the statement by FBI Director James Comey today on the investigation that he personally oversaw, which is that there no reasonable prosecutor would bring a case against her. Quote, prosecutors necessarily weigh a number of factors before bringing charges. There are obvious considerations like the strength of the evidence, especially regarding intent. Responsible decisions also consider the context of a person's actions and how similar situations have been handled in the past. Got it? We look at intent. Did she intend to disclose classified information? I don't think even the conspiracy theorists claimed that Hillary Clinton intended to disclose classified information. She may have intended to keep some personal emails private. But to say that she intended to disclose classified information to our enemies, I don't know anyone that actually believes that. There's no evidence of that, of course. But that is a requirement in the law for a prosecution. Right? Petraeus intended to disclose his classified information, if not to our enemies, at least to a person he knew was not authorized to receive it. Hillary Clinton just wanted to keep the information to herself. And that was a mistake based on the new State Department regulations, but it was not an intentional disclosure of classified information. At worst, it was putting information in a place where someone could have, but did not, hack it. Okay? So it's very different from Petraeus. So we're supposed to look at intent. Excuse me. It rained a lot yesterday in D.C., July 4th, so I may have caught a bit of a cold. So we look at intent. We also look at the context of a person's actions. Well, the context is pretty clear, right? Nothing was disclosed. There's no evidence anything was disclosed. It was something that lots of government officials have done. Colin Powell and others, Condoleezza Rice did. And that's the context. Was not intentional. And then you look at how similar situations have been handled in the past. He goes on to say, in looking back at our investigations into mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. They looked throughout the United States. They looked at every case in all of American history regarding mishandling and removal of classified information. They cannot find a single case that would support bringing criminal charges. If you ask me how I knew they wouldn't find criminal charges against Hillary Clinton and why I predicted it so confidently a year ago and last Saturday, even though I don't have a mole in the FBI, it's simple. I know the law. I knew the facts, or at least most of the salient facts. And I know and trust James Comey, even though he's a lifelong conservative Republican that gave money to McCain and Romney and was originally appointed by George Bush. Yeah, he's a conservative Republican, but he's an honest man. That's how I knew that an honest man looking at the law would find that there's no there there. There's nothing in it. That's why I confidently made the prediction. I'll tell you, I was in the Fox green room on Saturday, and one of the Hillary haters was there in the room and had just said that he's certain she's going to be indicted and so forth. And I saw him, and I said to him afterwards, you want to make a bet? He said, no, he wouldn't bet me that Hillary won't be indicted. He thinks she will be, but he won't bet me. I said, I'll give you 3-1 odds. He said, 3-1 odds. I said, yes, 3-1 odds. If I'm wrong, if she's indicted, I give you $30. If you're wrong, you give me $10. He said, deal. We shook hands. We have witnesses. I won't give his name, but next time I see him, I will collect $10. Because I know the law, and I trust James Comey. And what's fascinating is conservatives used to trust James Comey, too. There's a really fascinating article that one of my people who posts on my Facebook, which, by the way, all of you are welcome to do, to post on my Facebook site. Just go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk and let me know what you think. Somebody posted on my personal Facebook. She sent me an article from the Daily Caller from January 15th of this year. You know what the Daily Caller is? This is a right-wing newspaper. This is a conservative newspaper. It is their job to make conservatives look good, to make liberals look bad. That's what they do. That's okay. They have a right to exist. They're a very right-wing conservative newspaper. And in that article by Rodney Glassman, he writes, and this is the last paragraph of what he wrote last January, quote, in a nation with over 300 million people, there is no American more qualified to serve in the position of dismantling Hillary Clinton then James Comey as director of the FBI. The Obama subterfuge will proceed in November 2016 under the watchful eye and careful hand of a conservative, lifelong Republican who, once he has indicted the presumptive Democratic nominee, the Obama administration can disavow. It's all part of his conspiracy, you see. He knows that James Comey, who supported John McCain and Mitt Romney and gave them money and was appointed by Bush and is a lifelong conservative Republican. He knows that he's going to indict Hillary Clinton. And he thinks he's doing it because he thinks Obama wants to sabotage Hillary Clinton. What's fascinating is this conservative magazine doesn't seem to think that the director of the FBI might look at the facts and the law. They presume, the conservatives presume, the conservatives are so out to get Hillary Clinton that they will throw away the facts and the law and just indict. That's why they were sure he was going to indict. They never considered the fact that James Comey, lifelong Republican though he is actually an honest man trying to do his job based on the facts and the law. I have enough experience with James Comey to trust him. Again, not personally, I don't know him personally. I just know in the past, this is a man who's always put the law ahead of any kind of personal agenda. He goes on to say, as he describes other investigations, what they found. Again, a direct quote from James Comey this morning. It's what I played for you earlier on at the top of the broadcast. Quote, in looking back at our investigations into mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the case prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of materials exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. Got it? Every single prior case involving mishandling classified information, either it was intentional, it was willful, it was vast quantities, not 8 in 80,000, right? Not 0.01%, where 99.99% aren't mishandled and 0.01% are. Vast quantities? Indications of disloyalty? There weren't vast quantities. There's no indication of disloyalty. Or efforts to obstruct justice? No, there were no efforts. Hillary Clinton told the truth from the get-go to the FBI, including in her interview that occurred over the weekend. It's over, guys. Your own guy, your conservative Republican guy, who is honest, said it's over. What's fascinating is a lot of times the FBI is the one advocating prosecution. And it's the Justice Department, remember, they're the ones who are the prosecutors, who has to take the FBI information or reject it. Indeed, those are accusing Bill Clinton of trying to influence Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Said that that's just what's going to happen. Comey's going to recommend an indictment. Her career prosecutors are going to recommend the indictment. And she's going to overrule them. And even though all they talked about was golf and grandchildren, even though there were witnesses there, just a visit on the plane where they happened to have two planes on the same tarmac in 100-degree Arizona heat, and the president went inside and talked to her inside because it's air-conditioned in the plane, and very hot in Arizona on a tarmac on a 100-degree-plus day, that was what he was doing. So Loretta Lynch said, fine, you know what? I'm just going to take whatever recommendations are given me. In this case, it wasn't even the career prosecutors that gave the recommendation. It was the career conservative Republican FBI director who was advising the prosecutors not to bring a case, even though usually it's the FBI jumping at the chain to bring a case. So I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but the horse is dead, it's gone, it's beaten. And now I hope, just like whenever you hear Benghazi, you know immediately that Hillary Clinton was completely exonerated by the most conservative Republicans who were trying to find anything they could hang on her. Yet committee after committee after conservative Republican committee said, yeah, yes, we need better security at our embassies. Yes, Republicans were wrong to defund the security at our embassies. Yes, there are some people who handle security who should do a better job. No, none of this has to do with Hillary Clinton. We'll now say, yes, Hillary Clinton should have followed the new rules about the server and the email. Yes, it was an infraction. Yes, it was things that hundreds of government officials, including Colin Powell, have done. No, it wasn't criminal. Yes, it was a mistake. Let's move on. Sorry, Republicans, you tried Benghazi, you tried email. You're looking for anything for an extremely competent and intelligent and experienced person who's just going to be the next president of the United States. Compare that to the man she's running against. I'm going to do that tomorrow. Who's got a history of conning people and possibly committing violent crimes, stealing from poor, innocent people, grabbing their money, the most lying political candidate in American history. And the one flaw you could find in Hillary Clinton, sorry, folks, not a big one. This is Mark Levine. If you want to comment, go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. I will talk to you tomorrow.